And today's reading is from Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 to 19. Therefore, holy brothers, who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest whom we confess. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, testifying to what would be said in the future. But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house. And we are his house if we hold on to our courage and the hope of which we boast. So, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert when your fathers tested and tried me. And for 40 years saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation. And I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence we had at first. As has just been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the desert? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief.
Well, do turn back in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 3, and we'll pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your great love in speaking to us. And so we pray now that the same Holy Spirit who inspired the word would minister it to our hearts and lives, that we may become more like the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. On Monday, the Telegraph reported the following. Ryder Cup 2012. Europe pull off greatest comeback in history to beat USA in Chicago. Europe pulled off the greatest comeback of the Ryder Cup's history on a final day, which emphatically and thrillingly confirmed the Cup's propensity for the rawest of drama. Jose Maria Lathabelle's team wore Seve Ballesteros' outfit and completed an amazing escape, which was perfectly apt for the Spaniard's memory. Never give up. That is how Seve played his game. But even he would have found this recovery from 4 points down to retain his most precious trophy miraculous. Never give up. You don't get to play golf like Seve Ballesteros if you're a quitter. You don't get, like my wife is pointing out, that I'm a quitter when it comes to golf. That's true. Yeah, but you don't get to win the Ryder Cup if you're someone who is likely to give up. All of these players have persevered through thick and thin. Day after day, they're out there, practicing, playing, unlike me. And Europe only won last weekend because they didn't give up. They kept going. They kept playing to the very end, and they won. And that could be a summary of the book of Hebrews. The writer is saying, never give up. These Christians are tempted to give up. They're tempted to go back to Judaism, back to the worship of angels, back to religion, outward religion. And the writer says to them, consider Jesus. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. He is the author and perfecter of your faith. Keep following Jesus. Keep loving Jesus. Never give up. The immediate context is the writer's argument that Jesus is superior to angels, even though Jesus becomes a little lower than the angels. He becomes a human being in order to be our representative priest and sacrifice. And so Jesus is our elder brother who represents us to the Father and represents the Father to us. He is our priest. He is our sympathetic high priest. He knows what we're going through, and he's able to help us. And now today, three headings on your sheets. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. Understand about Jesus. And don't give up on Jesus. Firstly then, fix your thoughts on Jesus. Verse 1. Therefore, holy brothers, who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the author, the apostle, and high priest, whom we confess. Therefore, he says, forgive the cliche, but whenever you see a therefore, you must ask yourself what it's there for. And this therefore connects with the argument about Jesus being our brother priest, who makes atonement for the sins of the people. Now that's pretty wonderful, isn't it? God has stepped into time and space in the person of Jesus, fully God, fully man. And he's died in our place on the cross to make atonement for our sin. Therefore, fix your thoughts on Jesus. Therefore, holy brothers, did you know if you're a Christian, you are a holy brother of the Lord Jesus? I read in the paper on September the 20th, Vatican representative condemns attacks on holy places in Israel. Christian holy sites in Israel have been subjected to a series of organized attacks, which the authorities have done nothing to prevent, a representative of the Vatican in the country has said. Holy. A holy place, the article says. Actually, there's no such thing as a holy place. It's people God makes holy, not places. Holy doesn't mean weird. Being holy doesn't mean performing certain rituals or wearing special clothes. It means you're clean. You're able to know the holy God. The holy God will not relate to unholy people. We can only know God if we've been made holy, made a holy brother. Now then, holy brothers and sisters, you who share in the heavenly calling, what's your calling in life? Some people know if they've found their vocation. They're always meant to be a teacher or a doctor or a vet or whatever it was. They just know this was their calling. Some people feel they've missed their calling. Some people feel aimless and purposeless. Let me tell you, even if you feel you've found your vocation, there will come a day when you have to give it up. I was talking to a minister this week who's reached the age of 65 and his church is making him retire. And he said to me, I just don't know what I'm going to do with myself. And it was a real crisis for him. He didn't want to stop. See, there's only one calling which ultimately satisfies, and that is the heavenly calling. Being called to know God. Being called to be with God for all eternity. This is the calling that really matters. So, holy brothers and sisters, fix your thoughts on Jesus. Robert Wilson's immersive art piece, Walking, is a walk on the Norfolk coast that lets your mind wander, writes Eve Stebbing this week. There is a place for letting your mind wander, especially if you're looking at an art installation. But there is definitely a place for keeping your thoughts under control, disciplining your thoughts, directing your thoughts, fixing your thoughts, in this case, on Jesus. Why on Jesus? Well, he is the apostle and high priest whom we confess. This section is all about how Jesus is superior to Moses. Don't go back to Judaism. Don't go back to Moses. Moses was the great apostle. Apostle means sent one. Moses was sent by God. He's not a New Testament apostle, but he was sent by God. Jesus is the one who was sent by God, the writer is saying. Follow him. Not only was Moses the great apostle, his brother Aaron was the great high priest of the Old Testament. He founded the priesthood. And the writer is saying, don't go back to Moses. Don't go back to Aaron. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. For he alone is the God-man who died for us and paid for our sin and can save us. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. Number two, understand about Jesus. Verses 2-6. We're not called to an empty-headed spirituality. I had a tutor once who told me to stop reading the Bible so much and instead go into a room, light a candle, and let God speak to me in the silence. I did actually try it. There is a place for silence. But here, the writer gives us a substantial piece of doctrine, of teaching. He gives us something to think about, to get our teeth into. Look at verse 2. He, Jesus, was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Moses was a faithful man of God. And Jesus is faithful. That's what the writer is saying. But, verse 3, Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses. Just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, testifying to what would be said in the future. But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house, and we are his house if we hold on to our courage and the hope of which we boast. What's he saying here? Jesus is worthy of greater honor than Moses. And that's saying something, isn't it? The builder of the house is worthy of greater honor than the house. God is the builder of the house. Moses was just a servant in the house. We've started watching Downton Abbey. I resisted watching it rather snootily for a few years. I dismissed it as a soap opera. Then last Christmas, my father-in-law wanted to watch it. So we watched it. And when it came on a couple of weeks ago, I thought, why not? Obviously, if you've watched it, you've noticed the difference between the master and the servants. Moses is like a very high up servant in God's house. Jesus is the son of the builder, the son of the master, the heir of the estate. A son over God's house. And we are his house. Do you see that? In my last church, they would often say, it's great to be in the Lord's house on the Lord's day. Now, it's not wrong to say that. But of course, it implies that the church building is the Lord's house. We can't make that mistake because we haven't got a building. When we do have a building, we must not get into the mindset that the building is the Lord's house. This couldn't be clearer. Look at it. We are his house. The house of God is his people. Jesus rules over us, over the house. Moses is one of us, and he serves the house. Big difference. We are God's house. Verse 6. If we hold on to our courage and the hope of which we boast. How's your courage? I've told you before that the Welsh have a word for courage, which also means spirit and enthusiasm. The word is hoyle. Sometimes people will say, great preacher, he really preached with hoyle. Sometimes people will say, how's your hoyle? Well, how's your courage? Are you holding on to your courage? Are you holding on to the hope of which we boast? Are you? Or are you intimidated by the culture that we live in? Fix your thoughts on Jesus. Understand about Jesus. And thirdly, don't give up on Jesus. From verse 7. From verse 7, he quotes from Psalm 95. Notice what the Holy Spirit says in verse 7 is what the Bible says. Psalm 95 is the voice of the Holy Spirit. Never separate word and spirit. What does the Holy Spirit say then? Verse 7. Today, if you hear his voice, are you hearing God's voice? I'm speaking it to you. I'm preaching it to you. Are you hearing it? Verse 8. Do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert. God's people were rescued from slavery in Egypt. They were rescued from death. They were offered new life in the promised land. And what did they do? They hardened their hearts against God. Verse 9, they tested and tried God. And you know what? We're exactly the same, aren't we? We've been saved, many of us, from hell for heaven. We have Christ, we have the Spirit, we have the Word, we know God as Father. And what do? We harden our hearts towards God. We stop reading His Word. We stop praying. We stop serving. We go from being active Christians to passive Christians. As a pastor, I watch this happening with horror, because I know so often the result is someone falling away from Christ. The Israelites resisted God for 40 years. I know Christians who've resisted God for 40 years. They've become an empty shell of what a Christian ought to be. Verse 10, that is why I was angry with that generation. And I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. That's what God said about the Israelites. And that is what he will say about you if you don't love him with all your heart. Look at verse 11. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. They never entered the rest of the promised land. If you think you can play with God and live a life of disobedience to him, you will not enter the rest of heaven. Verse 12. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. See to it that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. How is your heart towards God? Don't give up on Jesus. The result of that is hell. My father-in-law went to Wellington College. Is it college or school? College. Wellington College, where his father had gone before him. The Duke of Wellington, who defeated Napoleon at Waterloo, was not an easy man to serve under, apparently. He was brilliant, demanding, and not one to shower his subordinates with compliments. Yet even Wellington realized that his methods left something to be desired. In his old age, the young lady asked him what, if anything, he would do differently if he had his life over again. Wellington thought for a moment, then replied, I'd give more praise. I don't want to bully anyone into a holy life, not least because of the next verse. Look at verse 13. Don't give up on Christ, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Encourage one another. Why are you here? You're here to encourage other Christians. That's the purpose of coffee time afterwards, as well as meeting newcomers. As long as it is today, that means as long as it's the day of salvation, there's no guarantee we will have tomorrow. And if we get hardened towards Jesus, then we're lost. Verse 14, We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence we had at first. Are you holding faith in Christ now as confidently as you did then? Do you love Jesus now more than you loved him at the beginning? Verse 15, more from Psalm 95. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Every time you open the word, the Bible, you have a choice. Will you soften your heart to God? Or will you harden your heart to God? Listen to this warning, verse 16. All those whom Moses led out of Egypt rebelled against God and were lost. And therefore, verse 17, God was angry with them for 40 years, and their corpses were strewn through the desert. They died in the wilderness rather than finding God's rest in the promised land. And therefore, verse 18, God swore that they would never enter his rest because they disobeyed. Verse 19, they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. I don't claim to be the most experienced pastor in the country, but I'm not the least experienced. I've known Christians who loved Christ and then went cold, went hard towards him. They did not hold firmly to the end the confidence they had at first. And I don't want to see it happen here. So how is it with you? Fix your thoughts on Jesus. Understand about Jesus. Don't give up on Jesus. Are you fixing your thoughts on Jesus? Or are you filling your mind with rubbish? What are you filling your mind with? So important. Are you understanding more and more about Jesus? Are you a person of the word and of prayer? Or perhaps, quietly, are you giving up on Jesus? Let's take a moment now to examine our hearts.